So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the second session. We're looking at a text written by Dogen, the Japanese monk who brought this form of Zen practice from China to Japan way back in the 1200s. He did quite a bit of writing in Japan after he had trained extensively, both as a young man in Japan and then as a young adult in China as well. So we're looking at this text called the Bendoa. And in our last session, we talked a little bit about the time and place of the Bendoa in Dogen's writings. We looked at the title, and then in some detail at the opening paragraph. That's as far as we got. And in this opening paragraph, and this is kind of typical of Dogen, he kind of crunches everything he can into the first paragraph or two of his essays and then expounds and explains it throughout the rest of the essay. So in this essay, Dogen introduces us to what's translated here as receptive samadhi, translated by the translator Kaz Tanahashi. In Japanese, this term is known as jijuyu zanmai. And a little better or a little more literal translation would be self-fulfilling or self-opening samadhi. And samadhi, remember, refers to a very settled, grounded, collected mind or a way of being. It is the concentration or mindfulness open to the greater self, the self that includes all things, the self that has no limit. It is the letting go of that strong sense we all have of I, me, mine, and resting in an all-inclusive awareness. This Dogen will tell us in this little part later in this Bendoa, is the foundation of all being and the gateway to this self-opening, self-fulfilling samadhi is simply sitting upright in zazen and over again letting go of our stories of I, me, and mine. So let's pick up where we left off, the second paragraph here. And if someone could read the second paragraph for us. Begins, although this inconceivable dharma.
Although this inconceivable dharma is abundant in each person, it is not actualized without practice, and it is not experienced without realization. When you release it, it fills your hand. How can it be limited to one or many? When you speak it, it fills your mouth. It is not bounded by length or width.
Thank you. So the inconceivable dharma that Dogen writes about here is nothing other than our fundamental nature, our profound interconnectedness with this dynamic, flowing universe. We have never been truly outside, cut off, or alienated. Remember the Joni Mitchell song. Everyone know Joni Mitchell? I thought I'd check. It's dating myself, I know. But the famous folk singer and writer, she sang, we are stardust. We are golden. We are billion-year-old carbon. And we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. Ring a bell? Woodstock. So in Buddhist understanding, our self-centered view is so strong, so compelling that we are lost or we are blind to the other truth of our life, our intimacy in the endless, timeless matrix of all things. At some point in our lives, at some point, a quiet longing arises. Arises for this deep intimacy that I think we all knew at some point in early on in our life. And this longing is a longing that's not quenched by new toys and new relationships, new jobs, nor by any of the other myriad distractions that we kind of constantly reach for. We are stardust. We are golden. We are a billion-year-old carbon. In this sense, you and I, we are manifestations of the perfection of things just as they are. And yet, for most of us, it is only through practice that we wake up to this truth of our lives. It's practice that opens our hearts and our inner eyes. The garden is not elsewhere. It's not at another time. Perhaps in the future, our practice, when we sit on the cushion and when we act in our daily life, is to release ourselves to this inconceivable Dharma that Dogen writes about, allowing it to be full and present in our everyday life. It, of course, as Dogen says, when you release it, it fills your hand. When you release it, it fills your mouth. Unbounded. And I would add, it fills your heart. So our task is to put down the stories of I, me, and mine, open to the present moment, the present situation, and simply fully manifest our complete being. It's not a matter of getting somewhere different, but rather to get out of the way. So how about let's try the next paragraph. Volunteer?
All Buddhas continuously abide in this Dharma and do not leave traces of consciousness about where they are. Sentient beings continuously move about in this Dharma, but where they are is not clear in their consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So Dogen writes here that Buddhas, being fully open to the inconceivable Dharma, do not leave traces. In other words, they are fully engaged without constantly referring back to themselves, without the typical kind of self-centered view. That view of says, look at me, or don't look at me. Usually it's one or the other, right? Kind of like driving a car or skiing down a slope, if you're skilled at it, or playing a piece of music that we know really well. At those moments, we are just in a state of being, just doing without a sense of me doing it. Or like in our Zazen, when the mind stills, it's only afterwards that we can say, boy, that was a good Zazen period. But at the time, there's just the stillness. No sense of one who is still. As so we too, as ordinary beings, skin bags, as the Chinese Zen masters often refer to us, stinking skin bags, in fact. We too are within this inconceivable Dharma. It flows through us. And yet we are distracted, caught up in our stories of like and dislike, mine and yours. And so we often conduct ourselves in a kind of distraction, comparing, evaluating, but never fully just being there. Although, of course, at moments we taste this, right? Skiing down the slopes, deeply into a piece of music, or into our sewing, or artwork, or the person we love. So let's read the next paragraph. Go ahead, John.
The concentrated endeavor of the way I'm speaking of allows all things to come forth in realization, to practice going beyond in the path of letting go. Passing through the barrier of dualism and dropping off limitations in this way, how could you be hindered by nodes in bamboo or knots in wood?
Great, thank you. So here we actually get to the title of this work, Endeavor of the Way. That's what Bendoa means. We talked about that last week. How we practice and apply the way. This is what this whole little essay is about. Zazen, as Dogen has told us, is the practice of forgetting the self. We talked about this a little bit last week. Letting go of our many stories and views. Just putting them aside. And when we let go, all things come forth in realization. We open to the intimacy with all things. And our practice goes beyond the practice of letting go. Because there is no I that is letting go. It's no longer Michael letting go. It's just this moment. No subject doing the practice, just practice practicing, so to speak. Just practice practicing. And this may seem esoteric, mysterious, but we have all done this. It happens in moments of our life when we're simply totally engaged with what we're doing. Time, remember sometimes time flies by, or sometimes it stretches out. And Dogen is steering us away from the view that perhaps, you know, at the last retreat I went to, I had a moment of awakening. And now it's in the past and I need to get my butt back on the cushion and practice harder so I can reach my imagined Satori, my imagined awakening. And Dogen is saying, no, don't think that way. Wholehearted engagement in this moment is Zazen. In this way, we pass through the gate of dualism and we enter a spacious, boundless intimacy, unhindered by our ideas and expectations about how things should be or should not be. So the next few paragraphs, Dogen, now that he's laid the groundwork, introduced us to his ideas about what meditation practice is. He's going to give us a brief history about the establishment of the Zen lineage. And for us, this might be just a kind of an interesting, rather mythic history, because it's certainly not verified by historical documents or artifacts. But for the monastics of Dogen's time, lineage was crucial. It was very important to validate and establish authenticity of a particular school. And this comes from China, the ancient Chinese greatly honored lineage. And this, of course, was passed on to Japan. So I think what I'll do is, rather than us kind of reading each of these paragraphs because that's going to take a fair chunk of time, I'm just going to tell you in a few sentences here. So he's now establishing the lineage. And basically what he says, I went to Song China during the Song Dynasty, and I studied, met my teacher there, and I studied with him, this second paragraph now, Ru Jing. And in that study, the questions I had about practice in my life were all answered. And it wasn't the kind of answer you sit and write down. But rather it was, I would say, for Dogen, he realized an opening into his very life itself that profoundly changed his view about what practice is and what a human life is. And with this deep understanding, new understanding that he had, he came back to Japan and made a vow that he would offer whatever he could to the people around him. He wanted to fulfill his bodhisattva vows. And unfortunately, when he first came back to Japan, he was, as he writes, like a cloud or a water weed. In other words, moving around, not really located, established, didn't have a monastery of his own to teach, and so it was difficult for people to find him. And so he wrote. He wrote the Bendowa that we're reading, and he wrote another text a little bit earlier known as the Fukan Zazengi. And he did all this because he wanted to leave what he felt were authentic teachings for us and for the people of his time. And it's not that the other teachings that were very strong in Japan at that time were completely wrong. I mean, he did many of them for many years when he was practicing in Japan. But he felt there was a way that would resonate for many, many people that was not in Japan at that time. And so at least he would write it down and write it down for generations to come. The next few paragraphs, he then goes all the way back to the time of the Buddha and talks about how the Buddha recognized the awakening of one of his key disciples, known as Mahakashapa, on Vulture Peak, and how this then eventually made its way by Bodhidharma into China, and then flowered into the Zen schools. And in China, in the Tang Dynasty, the dynasty before the Song, before Dogen's time, there were five main Zen schools. But by the time Dogen got to China, three of them had disappeared completely, leaving the Rinzai school and the Soto school. And those two schools still thrive today in Japan as well as in China. Okay, so that's the history in a nutshell. So let's pick up now the text. And we're going to go now all ancestors and all Buddhas. That's on page 2, just a little bit past halfway down. Got that? Okay, someone just read that paragraph for us.
Now all ancestors and all Buddhas who uphold Buddha Dharma have made it the true path of unfolding enlightenment to sit upright, practicing in the midst of receptive samadhi. Those who attained enlightenment in India and China followed this way. Thus, teachers and disciples intimately transmitted this excellent art as the essence of the teaching.
Okay, so this is pretty straightforward. And Dogen writes that the foundational practice is to sit upright in zazen. And there are many other practices, but he said this is the foundation. The practice, this jiju zammai, self-fulfilling, self-opening samadhi. And that this practice is passed on from warm hand to warm hand, generation after generation, starting from the Buddha all the way up to the present. Okay, so now we get back into something a little more metaphysical, meaty. Okay, next paragraph. Michael. Yeah.
In the authentic tradition of our heritage, it is said that this directly transmitted, straightforward Buddha Dharma is the unsurpassable of the unsurpassable. From the first time you meet a master, without depending on incense, offering, bowing, chanting Buddha names, repentance, or reading scriptures, just wholeheartedly sit and thus drop away body.
So again, I think pretty clear, this paragraph, and Dogen encouraged us to practice zazen rather than relying on many of the other common practices at the time, which were offering incense, chanting the names of the Buddha over and over again, doing various forms of repentance, etc. And Dogen, though, doesn't dismiss these practices. He doesn't say, don't do them. But he here strongly proclaims zazen as the foundational practice. This is the key practice. And please follow this practice. And there's some historical reasons that I won't go into, but it was important for Dogen to really emphasize this at this time. Okay. Now, next paragraph.
When even for a moment you sit upright in samadhi, expressing the Buddha mudra, form, in the three activities, body, speech, and thought, the whole world of phenomena becomes the Buddha's mudra, and the entire sky turns into enlightenment. Accordingly, all Buddha Tathagatas increase Dharma bliss, the original source, and renew their magnificence in the awakening of the way. Furthermore, all beings in the world of phenomena in the 10 directions and the 6 paths, including three lower paths, at once obtain pure body and mind, realize the state of great emancipation, and manifest the original face. At this moment, all things actualize true awakening. Myriad objects partake of the Buddha body, and sitting upright, the glorious one under the Bodhi tree, you immediately leap beyond the boundary of awakening. Then you turn the unsurpassably great Dharma wheel and expound the profound wisdom, ultimate and unconditioned.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So here Dogen waxes poetic and certainly metaphysical in some way. He says, you know, taking our seat in zazen, letting go of our self-centered thoughts, by returning over and over again to the present moment of our life, we express the Buddha mudra. Mudra is usually a hand position, but I think in this case, it means we open to our greater self. And in opening to our greater self, this intimacy that goes beyond this stinking skin bag, we open to the Dharma teachings of the whole world. The song of birds penetrates to our bones. The sky, no matter what its condition, is vast and beautiful. Joy increases as we drop our self-focused views and thoughts. And this practice is not simply a one-way stream of cause and effect, Our Zazen, Dogen writes, brightens all existence, brightens all forms of existence. This refers to the six paths, the hell realm, ghost, hungry ghost realm, like no matter where you are, everything brightens. Dropping the I, the me who's doing a Zazen, our Buddha nature, or as the ancient Chinese ancestors put it, our original face, naturally comes forward, and distinctions drop away. Even the distinction of awakened and non-awakened, or unawakened, they drop away. Turning the Dharma wheel is making effort without clinging to the results. Acting in the dynamic of interdependence, wisdom and compassion naturally flow forth without the hindrances of our expectations and our goals that we've set. I suppose there's various ways we can kind of understand this view that Dogen has about brightening the world. On one hand, I think again we've all experienced, you know, when we are totally engaged in our activity, the world does brighten, right? It's just a little more beautiful, a little brighter, a little richer. It's almost like we didn't quite notice it before. I think that's one way to understand it. And the other way is, because it's not a one-way street, whoever sees us, whoever we interact with, notices in some subtle or not so subtle way. They too begin to brighten a little. And maybe we're not as crabby as we were before practice. Or as glum. Or as angry. We brighten the world. The world brightens us. And our original face. Our Buddha nature. Our natural state of joy becomes clearer. Now, thinking after I read this, all of this may seem a little over the top. But Dogen is not trying to give us a new view of reality that we should write down and keep in our pocket. He doesn't say, you know, clip this out and put it in your wallet and read it once in a while. He's forcing us to question our habitual view of reality and practice and who we are. He wants us to question everything. I mean, how many times have we fallen into the view that the whole thing sucks? Right? I suck, the world sucks, politics. I mean, we could go on, I'm sure. But Dogen challenges us to question our assumptions, including our spiritual assumptions. The idea that, you know, awakening is an event that will happen at some point. The big light bulb will go off at some moment in the timeline of my life. He challenges us, saying, perhaps awakening is simply the course of being vibrantly alive right now. After all, really, if we pass through the gate of dualism and drop off all limitations, who is it that then realizes inconceivable Dharma? How could any realization be seen outside inconceivable Dharma? Right? Who stands outside to say, wow, I did it? It's not like knitting a tea cozy or... So...
Or maybe it's exactly like that.
Yes. Yes. So at the moment you say, wow, I knitted the tea cozy, it's a little off. But before that, it's bang on. Right. Well, that's what Dogen's telling us. So, enough of me and a little more of you. I'd like to ask you to do a little writing first, and then we'll get together in small groups to discuss what we write. So, I have two possibilities, two questions you can write on. Because the Dogen talks a lot about what brought him to practice, like his journey, I'd like you to think about for a moment, this is question number one, at this present moment in your life, how would you describe what brought you to this practice? At this present moment in your life, how would you describe what brought you to this practice? So you can write about that for a few minutes, and then we'll discuss, get together, and share with each other. So here's the other one to consider. So in our practice, as Dogen describes it, we deeply enter the personal. We study the self to forget the self. Right? We deeply enter the personal. Or as Dogen wrote, we study the self to forget the self. If you can, describe a time when the self was forgotten, when the personal was felt to the very, very bottom, perhaps through meditation, perhaps through an activity that you've done. How was it at that time? And how was it afterwards? Ça va? Seems okay? So, we'll take about 4 minutes. You don't write in full sentences, just jot down your ideas for either one of those two questions. How would you describe now what brought you to practice? Or the idea of, if you can, describe a time when the self was forgotten, when the personal was felt all the way to the very bottom, into perhaps the interconnectedness of things. Through meditation or through inactivity. And if both of those feel you stumped, something that we just heard when I was talking. And be prepared to share it in a little group. So, just take a few moments. Do you have a pen?
What's red pens?
Any?
I have one here. I can just lend you.
Okay, thank you.
Just make sure that one comes back to me.